Next Sunday, as most of you probably know, is Super Bowl Sunday at 6:30 p.m. local time. The New England Patriots will line up opposite the Atlanta Falcons, vying for the title of Super Bowl champions. Winning it will mean lots of money, great prestige, a fancy ring, and worldwide acclaim. So the men gathered on the field next week will be part of an overwhelming media frenzy, and their basic intention of beating each other into submission will be watched and applauded by countless fans. But the Super Bowl is great fun, and it is certainly an icon of American culture. From the game to the commercials to the halftime show, it is a grand exhibition of excess and all that our culture holds dear. Competition, drama, strength, fortitude, planning, practice, and winning all come into play. And the best team is richly rewarded. Fortunes are won and lost. Futures are made or destroyed. And the best of the best is celebrated with great fanfare. So in a society where winning is paramount, the Super Bowl is one of the best examples we have of the importance our nation places on being the best and having it all. But even though it is entertaining and it is fun, the Super Bowl, and really much in our culture, stands in direct contrast to today's readings. As Christians, we are all familiar with the Beatitudes, but how often have we really thought about what they actually mean? For example, we say, "Hooray for the strongest," but Jesus says, "Blessed are the meek." We admire the rich and famous, but Jesus says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit." We banish, denigrate, or ignore losers and work hard to avoid sadness. But Jesus says, "Blessed are those who mourn." We celebrate those who strive for money, glory, and fame. But Jesus says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness." We marvel at aggressive sports teams and ruthless businesses, but Jesus says, "Blessed are the merciful." We sow discontent and nurture grudges, but Jesus says, "Blessed are the peacemakers." And that list goes on, clearly demonstrating to us that the values of secular society are worlds apart from the teachings of Jesus Christ. But this shouldn't surprise us, for human society has always thrived on competition, focused on power, and glorified in winning. And that is why it is so challenging to be a Christian, because it is absolutely a countercultural way of looking at life. For what Christ taught was a total reversal of human values and expected norms. Instead, he taught and lived the values of the kingdom of heaven. He did not seek money, fame, power, or any of the things that society valued. On the contrary, Jesus spurned the religious leaders and pursued the outcast, and he loved the despised. He preached peace, justice, and mercy in the face of oppressive Roman rule. And he taught that the last would be first, and those that the least would have the most, which was for many of his listeners an unbelievable and unacceptable concept. So with this divine reversal of expected behaviors and outcomes, Jesus challenged people over and over again to see the world in a different way. And he pushed them to consider what was truly important and what was not. And the truth is, the Beatitudes still sound strange to our ears. In almost 2,000 years of Christianity, these concepts are still countercultural and pretty much a total reversal of what we would expect to be the norm. Because certainly the meek, the mourning, and the poor in spirit do not sound like winners in our American society. But what is important to remember is that with Jesus, winning was not the point. Being the strongest, the best, the richest, or the most powerful was never the point. And even being meek, persecuted, or poor in spirit, that wasn't really the point either. Instead, what matters is that Christians live not for the values and rewards of this world, but for the values and the blessings of the kingdom of heaven. What is important is that our focus is not on winning or power or material gain, but on striving for what the prophet Micah said the Lord requires of us, which is to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with our God. And then, as we try to do that, as we work for justice, as we practice kindness, and as we walk in humility with God, we will then find the blessedness that God bestows upon us in all our circumstances. Then we will find strength in our weakness, comfort in our mourning. We will find blessedness in every aspect of our lives. Because blessed are those who love God. Blessed are those who try to follow Jesus. Blessed are those who live by and work for the values of the kingdom of heaven. For the Beatitudes are not directions for us to follow, or even a to-do list of the sort of behavior that'll get us into heaven. Instead, they are a description of what we will find when we live a life of true discipleship. They illuminate what happens if we begin to live by the values and norms of the kingdom of heaven. And even though these upside-down values may not make us winners in a worldly sense, they will be what eventually brings about the reign of the kingdom of heaven on earth. So rather than sound like impossible goals or an unhappy to-do list, the Beatitudes instead become an expression of Christ's love made real in the people of God. How blessed we are then in any and all circumstances because we know and live and love in the light of Jesus Christ. So enjoy the Super Bowl next week. Laugh at the commercials. Eat too much food and cheer for your team. Win or lose, it's always a lot of fun. And as the new champions are congratulated and all the armchair quarterbacks have their say, remember that in spite of what the culture celebrates and no matter what yardstick society holds up for our measure, we are called to view life in a different way. We are called to a life that contradicts worldly wisdom and instead relies on heavenly blessing. We are called to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with our God. In other words, we are called to the difficult and demanding life of following Jesus Christ. We are called to be different. Amen.